Welcome to a half hour of Mind Webs. Short stories from the worlds of speculative fiction. This is Michael Hansen. The Mind Web story this evening is Hands of the Man by R.A. Lafferty. It appears in the book Infinity One, edited by Robert Hoskins and published by Lancer Books. His forearms were like a lion's, sinewed and corded and mountainous. One could hardly help looking at them, and he was looking at them himself. His hands, no less remarkable than his forearms, lay palm up on the bar. The hands of the man were intricately and powerfully fashioned. On one of the lesser fingers of the left hand, there was a heavy gold band, 3/4 inch thick and wide. The rest of him was a stocky sky man, fair and freckled. He was blue-eyed and lightly lashed and browed, and he gazed at his hands like a boy. It was a tavern frequented by skymen and traveling men of all sorts. A spotter had seen the man, and now he came, and they talked.
You are very interested in something,
said the spotter, Henry Hazelman.
Not at all, the sky man said. Not at all. A man who is deeply interested has the same appearance as one who is completely absent-minded, as was my case. I was staring at my hands, and both they and my mind were empty. But before I had left off thinking, I was musing on the contrast between the two of them.
The sky man was named Hodel Hoskanian, and the name was the least odd thing about him.
I was looking at my left hand, which I was born with, and at my right hand, which I made myself. It is the saying of the palmists that we form the lines of our right hand by the tide of our lives. You'll notice, my friend, that all the lines of my left hand are graven so deeply that a coin could be stood up in any one of them when the hand is flat. Get a hold on your emotions, man, and then look at that headline. Should it not betoken genius? You would say that a man with a headline like that would be capable of anything, and you'd be right. Hold on to your eyeballs with both hands when you take a look at that heart line. Notice the generosity passage where it goes between the mountains of integrity and nobility. Doesn't it shake you a little to stand beside a man with a heart line like that?
Yes, something does shake me a little, Henry Hazelman said.
Look at that humility bump. I'll bet I've got more humility than any man in creation. If I ever met a man with a hand like mine, I'd follow him to the end of the universes just to shake it. Steady yourself now, friend. Look at that lifeline. It curves clear around the heel of my hand like the ocean river circling the ancient world. I wouldn't die at less than 120 with a lifeline like that.
Yes, it is quite a hand.
But not the right hand. Notice that while it is also one of the most fascinating hands in the worlds, it is not up to the left, which I was born with. It is the hand of compromised genius. Is there any other kind? It is the hand of a Leonardo, or an Aquinas, or an Aristotle, or a Willie McGilly. The hand of a man capable of reaching the ultimates, but perhaps not of surpassing them. This comparative fuzziness of line is to be found in the right hands of all really great men. Even we fall short of our destiny. Say, have you the price of a beer?
Yes, here. Give my friend a beer.
Henry cried to the barman. It was the green beer recently introduced from Barathron. It had become a favorite of the Skymen. And when the left hand of Hodel flicked out to take the beer, Henry Hazelman saw what he had been waiting to see. He went away. Henry went to David Daumier, the diamond factor.
It's as big as a hen's egg, David, my word on it.
To you, all rocks are as big as hen's eggs, David said. I wonder, I never see such small eggs. It would take 100 of them to make a dozen.
I've never given you a wrong turn, David, and I never saw the like of this one.
And probably glass.
Wouldn't I know the difference?
Yes, you would know the difference. And already David Daumier was going along with Henry, the spotter. There are little islands in that headline. Hodel still talked to himself, and several who listened in both amusement and admiration. There are little islands in that line. And anyone but myself, it would mean that a person with such islands in his headline was a little peculiar. Good afternoon, sir. Is my conversation worth a beer to you? I've said it myself 100 times that I'm the most interesting person I ever listened to. Yes, your talk is worth that, said David Daumier. Barman, fill my friend again. That's a gaudy little ring you have there, Skyman. The stone is simulated, of course. It was the finest diamond that David had ever seen, and he had traded as many diamonds as any man in the universes. Oh, there's deception in you, Hodel rebuked him. Let's be open. You are a professional. There's a little blue light that appears behind the eyes of a professional when he sees a stone like this. Did you know that? You sparkle from it. And the stone is not simulated. A little too yellow. Golden, rather. All great diamonds are golden. The small blue ones are for children. We will assume it is hot. Fortunately, I can handle it. This would involve somewhat of a discount, of course. If it were hot and of this size, would you not know about it? It isn't from Earth. I doubt that it's of any trabant or asteroid. It hasn't the orange cast of those Ganymede. And I'd know a diamond from a Hokie planet anywhere. Is it from Astrovi? Pewterbundia? Bellota? No, it isn't from any of the 100 worlds, nor from any licensed planet. I didn't pick it up in any such backyards. It's from a distance.
Has it a name?
A private name only.
Likely it has a flaw.
If it had a dozen, it would still be peerless, but it has none.
Not even a built-in curse?
I've worn it in health. I believe it is lucky.
Well, since we admit it has value, why are you not afraid to wear it openly?
I'm a full-sized man and armed, and in my wits, I would not be easily taken.
It's too large to market, and diamonds are down.
To the buyer, the market is always down.
Well, if you would set a price to turn the conversation to the point.
Oh, if you like it, I'll give it to you. David ordered a drink to settle his nerves before he answered.
Why, for a moment I didn't recognize you were opening, he told Hodel after he had sipped and swallowed. Skyman, I would bet that you have haggled prices on trader planets.
I've dealt with the gentlemen there and found them not too sharp. I left the traders shirtless and barefoot, it's true, but not much worse than I was when I went there. I'm an easy mark.
I would not like to play poker with you.
It's not my game. I am too guileless. Would 5,000 interest you?
Not very much,
said Hodel, looking at the bump of rectitude on his right hand. Oh, I wouldn't stoop to pick it off the floor, but if it were in my pocket, I wouldn't trouble to throw it away.
Yes, you have haggled on traded planets. I could double it, but that is my limit.
That will do nicely, David.
What? You will go along with me? You will sell?
I will sell nothing. Am I a merchant? I will give it to you as I said that I would. But to salve your feelings, I will accept the small sum you've named. Out of respect to you, I would hardly accept a smaller sum with an easy mind. Bring it here and lay the money on the bar.
I will send Henry.
David nodded to Henry, and Henry left. You have sent Henry, but not for the money. Hodel smiled as he studied the island of Icarus on his right hand. Henry has gone to collect some comic strip characters to keep me company. One of them, what we call Homo Conventus, or Mechanical Man, will analyze myself and my god. Only after you are satisfied with the reports, and I'm told they miss nothing nowadays, only then will you go and get the money. I admire your prudence, for this is the way gentlemen do business.
And that is the way the gentleman did it. Henry Hazelman returned with three comic strip characters, and one of them was a machine. A descendant of Structo, the Mechanical Man, from the strip of that name.
It was Structo, the name in Hodel's mind only, who affably and left-handedly shook hands with Hodel and engaged him in conversation.
It is a fine hand, sir. I am told you were saying the same thing about it yourself, and a fine ornament on it. No, do not attempt to withdraw your hand, Skyman. It is necessary that I retain my grip in order to analyze yourself and your thing. My own filaments make contact with the crystalline complex. I can read you like a book, to coin a phrase.
Look out for a little double phrase in a middle chapter.
It's an anti-bunco machine, Skyman. It reads you and your stone at the same time. Well, what do you read, Pentrax 9?
Mr. Damier, the stone is sound and without flaw. It rings like a bell.
To coin a phrase, how do I ring?
Yes, that is the question. My device, Skyman, has appraised the stone as my eye has done, but at the same time it can read what is in your mind regarding that stone. Should there be a flaw in the stone to escape both myself and my device, my machine will find it in your mind.
Intelligent-looking contrivance, is he not? Can he follow a syllogism to the end? Can he recognize a counterman? Can he count the marbles when the game is over?
He can't, but I can. His job is to detect, and he does that well. My contrivance can sniff out every newest trick in the world.
Aye, but can he snuffle out the oldest? How do you read me, contrivance?
Yes, is there any doubt in the mind of this man about the stone, Panther?
Mr. Damier, I had to travel some distance into his mind to find the stone. But his mind is serene about the stone. It is good. And he knows it is good. Only, oh no, sir, do not attempt to match grips with me, Mr. Skyman, even in fun. I have a grip of iron. I am basically iron. You will be injured if you persist. Or do I have it wrong? Why, you have crushed my hand as if it were an eggshell, to coin a phrase. No matter, I always carry a spare. Now, if you will release me, Mr. Skyman, thank you.
Quite a grip, Skyman.
said David Damier. You crushed an iron probe that was built for durability. But my contrivance had already answered my question for me. You have no mental reservation as to the stone. I will go get the money now. My people will keep you company, Skyman, and the contrived one will repair himself meanwhile. David Damier left on his errand.
I meant to say something else, but you squeezed the thought out of me. My nexus at the moment was in my hand, which you crushed.
You intended to say, gentle contrivance, that I knew the stone was good, too good, and that I was laughing in my mind. Of course I was. I'm a merry man, and it gladdens me to give away a thing too good to keep.
The contrivance put on another hand and busied himself hooking it up. The two human comic strip characters, roaring gunmen, studied Hodel with sleepy evil eyes and seemed more mechanical than their mechanical comrade. After a decent interval, David Damier returned with a tightly wrapped brown paper package. It was of fair size and was marked with a deformed Greek M, Damier's own code for the amount in the packet.
Now we will make the exchange.
And Damier laid the paper-wrapped package openly on the bar.
Lay the ring beside it, and then I open and count.
The ring won't come off easily.
Hodel worked and turned it vigorously. He was quite right.
There's an amusing story of how the ring came off the finger of the last owner. I finally used a bolt cutter.
The band doesn't show it. An expert must have rejoined it.
The band wasn't cut. The finger was. Say, that man did make a noise about it.
I'll send for a jeweler's saw. I don't mind the band being cut.
Soap and water are quicker. It'll slip off easily with that.
And soap and hot water were already there. The basin was brought by a counterman in a dirty apron. And who notices a counterman? Especially who notices that he is a pun. So the only one who recognized the man in the dirty apron as Willie McGilly was Hodel. Hodel soaked his great hands, and the ring came off. Hodel held it dramatically while the counterman made his counter unseen. He held it in one of his great hands with their deep lines that betokened genius and the faint islands in the headline that in any other man would indicate something a little peculiar about that genius.
It is a nice ring, and now we count.
Two of the comic strip characters patted their armpits to indicate that the bulge there had a reason for being. Henry Hazelman, the spotter, lounged in the doorway of the tavern to spot anything that should come. And David opened the package and began to count out the hundreds. Those bills sing a soft song to themselves when they fall on each other. When he reached the count of 13, David's eyelid flickered and he paused, but for much less than a second, only long enough to check and recheck in his rapid mind and to put down a faint surge of panic. When David reached 30, Hodel reached out and lightly touched one of the bills.
It is nice-looking money.
Then he removed his hand and David continued to count. Only one who knew the diamond factor well, or who knew all men well, could have known that David was nervous. Only a very quick eye could have detected that his hand trembled when he passed the 50 mark. And only a consummate genius like Hodel could have known that the throat of David was dry, or have guessed why it was. Hodel reached out and touched another bill, the 63rd or 64th, it does not matter which.
It is nice looking money, David. Possibly too nice looking. Continue to count.
The comic strip characters made moves towards their weapons, but David gulped and went on with the count.
70, 80, 90, 99, 100.
There was a right finality about it.
David waited. It is a nice pile. I have never seen such pretty money. Who makes your money, David?
The comic strip characters and Henry Hazelman started their moves again, but Hodel froze them at half reach. There is a proverb that a gun in the hand is worth three in the shoulder holster, and Hodel had a gun in his hand so fast that it sparkled in all their eyes.
I'm surprised at you, Mr. Daumier. I did not know that you dealt in funny money. To offer a poor price to a poor skyman is one thing. To pay even that in counterfeit is another. The deal is off, sir. I will keep my ring, and you may keep your pile of money.
It can't be. I never take a bad bill. I am sure. I myself have just got that money from my own safe.
It does look good. It is almost the best I have ever seen, but, David, you have handled a million bills. You know what it is.
Well, you switched the package.
I have not. Your men and your machine have scanned me the whole time. I have nothing on me but this ring now back on my hand and this little thing back on my other hand. And my pockets, which I turn out for me, contain nothing but 12 cents earth coin, a small luck charm, a coney's foot, and a Ganymede guilder. Your machine can read me as the physical things without contact.
That's right, Mr. Daumier. That's all he's got on him.
I came with this, and with this I leave. They looked at the stocky skyman with the forearms like a lion's and the little gun in one of his deep-lined hands, and they were afraid to jump in. David still didn't know how the switch had been made, but now he knew when. That evening in another tavern, and this a secluded one down in Wreckville, Hodel Oscanian and Willie McGilly and some of their friends sat and drank together. And from a bundle of bills similar to David's, Willie McGilly now counted out bills. 98, 99, 100. And these were valid.
They have multiplied the earth by billions and made all things intricate, said Willie. Men are not the same as their fathers were, and a man would need three brains to comprehend all the new devices. And yet in quiet places like the Green Valley, some of the simple and wholesome things endure. Old friends, old customs, old cons, sweet frauds that are ever young. We are like ancient handicrafters in an automated universe, but we do fine and careful work. They have multiplied it all, but the basic remains the same. The setting and the hands of Hodel do set the thing off well. The bait and the stone would have to be the finest ever, or we'd have worn it to dust using it for a bait. The warning to give fun to the game, the counterplay, and then the innocent disclaimer.
Hodel once more gazed at his hands, and then he spoke.
There was a nice touch, Willie, to use his own brown paper to wrap your own bundle and tape it so similarly with his own David Daumier jeweler tape. It was nice to find out and reproduce his own peculiar mark for the amount and to learn all the little details while you were in his establishment, even though you could not get into the safe itself. I hope you did not help yourself to trinkets while you were there. It would be wrong to burglarize his premises, but it is licit to take a taker in honest combat. You were the good switchman, Willie, while I was the strong magnet to hold their eyes. But Willie, the water was too hot and the soap too strong. You are inconsiderate in so many ways.
Why, and you are always perfectly considerate yourself,
said Willie.
Always, said Hodel. And he studied his hands with their deep heart lines passing through the mounds of rectitude and magnanimity and piety and sympathy and generosity and gentleness and all the virtues. Appears in the Landseer book edited by Robert Hoskins, Infinity One. This is Michael Hansen speaking. Technical operation for this broadcast by Bob Chan. MindWebs is produced at WHA Radio in Madison, a service of University of Wisconsin Extension.